tomorrow, the burial will take place of Pope Benedict XVI. He's going to have a funeral similar to that of a reigning pope, including a three-coffin burial. The retired pontiff died aged 95 on New Year's Eve, and a three-day lying-in state began on Monday for him. To talk about his legacy and what he achieved, we are joined on the line by Richard O'Brien from Clarny. Richard's a lay Catholic who's involved with the Diocese of Kerry and has a deep interest in religious and ecclesiastical matters. Richard, good morning to you. Tell us a little bit briefly about Benedict. Who was he again? He served as Pope from 2005 to 2013. He succeeded the very charismatic Pope John Paul II. And some people would say he was a lot quieter character compared to Pope John Paul II. And indeed to the current Pope Francis.
Good morning, Tracy, and good morning to the listeners. Happy New Year to yourself and everybody listening. I think Pope Benedict inspired many of the faithful because he was a great theologian, a humble priest, and more important, a great Pope that helped Catholics better understand their faith and their task as Christians. I believe Pope Benedict never wanted power, but as a theologian, he always seeks the truth.
And he began as a relatively, from what I understand, as a relatively liberal cleric. And as you said there, he was a deeply intelligent, a highly intellectual man, quite liberal around the time of Vatican II, in the late 50s, early 60s. But then as the 20th century came to an end and drew to a conclusion, he became a lot more conservative.
That's right, yeah, and he served as the prefect of Doctrine of Faith under, and in that role he faced some of the most pressing issues facing the church. One time that he thought about retiring.
Richard, what we're doing is the line is breaking up. So what we're going to do is we're going to get you up on the landline just ring you back on the landline. There seems to be some problems with the WhatsApp. My apologies for this. We'll get you up on the WhatsApp and we'll continue our discussion about Pope Benedict the 16th. And we will also have to address about his issue of how he dealt with child abuse issues in the Catholic Church. For example, Sheila has got in touch with us on Facebook to say, well, the victims of those monsters that Pope Benedict protected from form part of the discussion. How his actions of protecting predator priests caused so much suffering. Is Radio Kerry concerned with victims of clerical abuse, or is this just a PR stunt to paint Benedict in a good light, like much of the media has done these past days? Well, Sheila, we are going to talk about it, but we have to talk about anybody who's died in the round, and we will in the amount of time that we have, we will try and present a fair and objective analysis of Pope Benedict's legacy. You're joining us there now. You're back again with us now, Richard. Are you there?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm there, Teresa. Sorry, I just to take off from where I sat there. I suppose Pope Benedict was the prefect of the Doctrine of Faith under Pope John Paul, and in that role he faced some of the most pressing issues facing the church. I recall him saying in an interview one time he had thought about retiring in 91 and 96 to write books, which he loved doing, but he said seeing how Pope John Paul suffered and continued to do all his work, he had to continue his journey as well. And I think he'll be mostly remembered for resigning in 2013 when he announced that he would be retiring, the first pope to do so in 600 years.
What do you think was his most important contribution to the Catholic Church? And what would you say to people? First of all, we will get to those concerns about his response to the evil of child abuse in the Catholic Church. What would you say to those who would say that as a pope he was very conservative, he wasn't someone open to discussions about making the church more inclusive? For example, even looking at the possibility about getting women more involved in the church in terms of pastoral duty, or as priests, or allowing them to become deacons of the Catholic Church, that he was too conservative, that he was too rigid, and that position alienated many Catholics.
Yeah, well, I suppose my own view would be that he was a man of tradition that came probably from a different era, but I think he was really a defender of church teaching, and I think that, you know, even stepping aside, like I said, to let somebody else take on the role as Pope really demonstrated how much he loved the church, because he was willing to hand up that power to somebody else, and knowing that he could do that job with more energy and possibly do it better due to his ill health. And I think that all his decisions were always made in the best interest of the church, and he was a man that really respected everyone and you know, treated everybody fairly, in my opinion. And that's the way I remember him as a Pope, a man that respected all human life.
And do you think there's rumours now that his passing may make it easier for Francis, who is 86 and who has his own health issues, that it may make it easier for Francis, if he should so decide, to resign himself as from the papacy? What do you think of that sort of commentary?
Yeah, I think that's valid commentary. I think the Pope has, in many occasions, said that, like his predecessor Benedict, that when he sees the time that he's not able to fully do his job, he will consider a return and pass it on to somebody else, like Benedict did, to do the job. And I think Pope Benedict has certainly paved the way enough for Francis to do that. And I think Pope Francis said there one time, you govern with the head and not the knee, so hopefully he'll be there for another while. And we can continue to enjoy his reign as Pope, because he's a great Pope.
You would be a fan of Pope Francis?
I would. I you know, for Francis is, I suppose he's a Pope of our times, really, and he's a Pope that for his age and everything, he's really got out among the people and tried to encourage them in every way he can to come back to the church, and I really respect him for that.
Sheila, I don't know if you heard the comment we read, but Sheila got in touch with us on Facebook, said, will the victims of the monsters that Pope Benedict protected from facing up to their crimes form part of the discussion? Sheila is referring to your controversies or commentary that he had failed to act against widespread child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church. Now, last year he admitted providing false information to a German inquiry into clerical sex abuse in Germany, and he said he blamed a previous written statement to German investigators, in which he said he was absent from the meeting on an editorial error, that it was an error, and it was simply an oversight. It wasn't out of any bad faith. But do you think you know, the controversies about child sexual abuse and the church's response and his response as Pope, and when he was in a position of great power in the years leading up to his election as Pope, do you think that will cast a shadow on his legacy?
Look, I think there will be some people who will criticise the Pope's leadership, but in that area, and will focus on that area. But I think for people who looked to Pope Benedict for spiritual guidance and teaching from the church, that won't overshadow it for them. And I think they will mostly remember Pope Benedict saying that he had zero tolerance for any such matters in the church, and that there was no excuse for what happened in the church, and that it was shameful and disgusting that what had happened to children in our church.
And finally, it just strikes me, and I think this point has been made in the Irish Times today, there seems to have been more coverage here in Ireland, certainly on the media, of the passing of Pele rather than Pope Benedict XVI. I'd say even 20 years ago, one would have imagined that the passing of Pope would dominate headlines in Ireland. What do you think that says about the standing of the Catholic Church in Ireland?
I think that really speaks more, I would imagine, of the media and not the church. You know, I suppose it kind of depends, I suppose, on where you're tuning in and what media as well. I know that a lot of media agencies have taken it up, and I know that thousands of people have been lining up in St. Peter's Square and outside the Basilica. I think they said 90,000 in the last 3 days to pay their respects to the Pope, waiting hours. So I think it's not a story for everybody in today's world that we live in, but it's still very important to many, you know.
Look, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking to Richard O'Brien from Clarny, a lay Catholic who's very much involved with the Diocese of Kerry and who's a great student of church matters. Thank you for your thoughts and your contribution and your views on the legacy of Pope Benedict XVI, who will be buried tomorrow.